美东时间4月19号星期一，北京时间4月20号星期二，欢迎收看美国观察，我们从美国首都华盛顿为您现场直播。拜登总统宣布周一起所有16岁以上的民众都能获得新冠疫苗。白宫表示，即使强生公司的疫苗出现状况，但是疫苗的总数已经足够。另外，俄罗斯反对派领导人纳瓦尼在狱中绝食抗议，已经送医。白宫警告，如果纳瓦尼死亡，俄罗斯将面对严重后果。详细情况请美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅来介绍。耀毅。
是，此前拜登总统呢曾经说，由于这个疫苗的生产很顺利，所以呢，提供给全美国民众都有资格获得疫苗的时间，从5月提早到4月19号。那么在4月19号的上午呢，白宫就发出了拜登总统的视频，宣布现在全美国人都已经有资格获得疫苗。我们看一下拜登总统怎么说。
Everybody is eligible as of today to get the vaccine. We have enough of it.You need to be protected, and you need in turn to protect your neighbors and your family. So please, get the vaccine.
They notice the music. 那么根据白宫提供的数据呢，现在已经有超过一半的美国成年人已经接种了至少一剂的疫苗，超过32%的美国成年人已经完全接种疫苗，超过还有81%的老年人呢已经接种了至少一剂的疫苗，另外呢有超过三分之二的老年人已经完全接种。拜登政府同时也增加接种的场所，现在呢有90%的美国人在他们住家附近5英里之内就可以获得接种疫苗的服务。那我们知道此前强生公司的疫苗生产出现了问题，后来又发生了这个接种疫苗的一些民众呢出现了血栓的现象，因此呢美国的 CDC 这个宣布暂停强生疫苗的接种。不过呢白宫发言人沙奇在星期一的白宫记者会上表示说呢现在是辉瑞公司还有莫德纳公司的疫苗加融起来已经足够提供给美国的民众。我们看一下沙奇是怎么说的。
We have ordered enough supply to ensure we can meet the demand by the end of May and enough supply to vaccinate every adult American by the end of July without Johnson & Johnson.
那么就我们知道俄罗斯的反对派领袖纳瓦尼之前受到下毒之后已经康复之后返回俄罗斯却马上受到拘禁，那么现在正在进行绝食抗议的他呢健康情况恶化，已经送到了监狱当中的医院。不过他的律师表示说呢俄罗斯当局呢还是不让纳瓦尼的这个医生来为他进行治疗。那么星期呢白宫则再度的对俄罗斯的政府提出警告，我们来看一下。
As the National Security Advisor Sullivan has said, he said just yesterday, we are not going to telegraph our punches. If Mr. Navalny dies, well, there will be consequences to the Russian government, and we reserve those options. But in the interim, our objective is, of course, continuing to call for, push for his release, and reiterate our view that he must be treated humanely.
那拜登总统自己曾经表示过呢，希望要与这个俄罗斯总统普京来举办一个峰会。那么在白宫新闻简报上被问到说，如果纳瓦尼死亡的话呢，拜登总统是否会取消与普京总统的会面？对此呢，这个沙奇则是表示说呢，希望这样子的悲剧不要发生。那么对此呢，不加揣测。卡拉，
好的，感谢姚毅的详细报道。近期中国在台湾海峡的行动有所增加，周一台湾国防部官员表示，台湾仍在寻求从美国获得远程空射巡航导弹。台湾国防部战略规划司司长李世强周一表示，目前台美沟通管道畅通正常，所有经过公告的军售案进度都正常，目前只剩空军的 AGM-158 远程巡航导弹还在持续争取。 AGM-158 被认为是目前最先进的巡航导弹之一，射程达到370公里，由美国洛克希德马丁公司研发制造，可以携带这款导弹的机型包括台湾现有的 F-16 战机。台湾目前正在开发自己的远程导弹，以便在发生战争时有能力对中国进行纵深反击，同时台湾也希望美国提供更先进的武器。 欧盟理事会星期一批准了一项印太合作战略计划，旨在加强欧盟在印度太平洋地区的影响力。路透社报道说，欧盟虽然没有具体提及中国，但声明中的措辞是支持美国总统拜登对华态度的信号。欧理会在一份声明中表示，印太地区目前的动态导致了激烈的地缘政治竞争，加剧了贸易和供应链以及技术、政治和安全领域的紧张局势，人权也受到挑战。这些事态发展越来越威胁到该地区乃至世界的安全与稳定，直接影响到欧盟的利益。据路透社报道，这个新的印太战略计划是通过从安全到卫生等领域来保护欧盟利益，并对抗中国日益崛起的力量。但欧盟称其战略并非针对北京。经过了几年变幻无常的天气和贸易争端所导致的不确定性和经济困难之后，正要下田种植今年庄稼的美国农民看到谷物商品的价格飞涨。美国之音记者法拉报从中西部的伊利诺伊州报道说，这是让农民一则以盼一则以忧的新闻。
伊利诺伊州农民李德·汤普森2019年在美国和主要贸易伙伴之间的紧张关系不断加剧的情况下，接管了家族的农耕事业。这是美国玉米和大豆市场需求和利润双双暴跌的时候。
My career into full-time farming was rather stressful.
美国农业部为了减轻他们的压力，在几年间向汤普森这样的农民提供了总值数百亿美元的直接补贴。这不仅有助于让他们熬过贸易动荡，也熬过了新冠病毒大流行，这样他们才可以继续耕种下去。就像在这个清凉干爽的四月清晨，汤普森正在为大豆播种，随着他的拖拉机耕过肥沃的土壤，他的庄稼价格也达到十年来的最高点。这个变化和一年前天差地别。
I would say 30-50% higher than what we were 12 months ago.And so, first time in several years that farmers can plan on profit without government money.
政府拨款帮助汤普森抵消了特朗普政府对中国钢铁和铝征收关税，从而对他的利润所造成的损失。这些关税促使美国最大的大豆市场之一的中国提高了美国出口谷物和其他商品的关税。
Those policies, that, you know,featured a lot of tariffs and retaliation weren't very helpful, but I think we've dug out of that hole and we've started to see some gains. So we're hoping to keep that momentum going.
亚当·尼尔森是伊利诺伊州农业局全国立法主任，他向国会成员和白宫做工作，促进有助于美国农业产业的政策。
In terms of seeing expanded trade, we don't care who's in the White House. That is one of our priority issues.It was under Trump. It will be under Biden.
尼尔森肯定特朗普政府和中国的第一阶段贸易协议以及美国、加拿大、墨西哥的贸易协定，认为有助于今年的需求和价格上涨。他说，美国的立法者应该关注新的贸易协定。
There are countries and there are regions of the world that are entering the middle class for the first time. Sub-Saharan Africa, for example. You know, those are the markets where there's potential growth.
And, you know, with Biden coming in, there's opportunities to strike deals with the UK, Korea, Japan, and others.
汤普森说，他能够以今天的高价出售一些去年收成以来一直储存的谷物。但伊利诺伊州农业信贷地区的经理卡雷布梅说，许多农民恐怕无法从中获利。
We may have high prices today, but you may not have anything to sell for those high prices.
汤普森说，价格高也有不利的一面。
As our commodity prices go up, so does everything else.
汤普森预期他经营农场的成本今年将增加15%。
But am I going to end up in a better position now than I did at the end of last year?
就目前而言，这个答案和长期天气预报一样不可靠。美国之音记者法拉报伊利诺伊州吉布森市报道。
去年五月，明尼苏达州黑人男子乔治·弗洛伊德在被警察逮捕之后不久死亡。涉案警察德里克·肖文在执法过程中用膝盖跪压弗洛伊德的颈部，并因此受到了过失杀人和谋杀的指控。目前案件的审理已经进入最后阶段。在法庭所在地亨内平县政府大楼附近，当地的居民在焦虑中等待着审判结果。来看报道。
Minnesota right now is very polarized when it comes to policing, so I think if a precedent was set, then things might change here.
And just like in surgery, you know, if you do something wrong, you get sued for malpractice and you deserve to be convicted. So if you do something wrong as a police officer, you deserve to be convicted like any other job.
The city is kind of preparing for that to happen right now. They're boarding the buildings up, and the National Guard is out in preparation for the bad news.
It could be a hung jury because there is a minimal question there, but hopefully it all turns out the way it should and everybody's happy. I live downtown and we're all quite concerned about the outcome of the trial.
在针对亚裔的一系列攻击事件发生之后，美国各级政府采取了行动对抗种族仇恨。马里兰州参议员李凤谦表示，针对亚裔群体的攻击事件在他的选区一直存在，他希望看到国会通过联邦层级针对仇恨犯罪和枪支安全的立法，统一各州标准。
Well, we should strengthen our hate crimes law. I'd like to see it on a national level.Just like, you know, our gun and safety legislation, I wish that was a national, that was, so that each state doesn't have to pass its own gun safety laws. And same with hate crimes. I think we have to have some kind of national legislation to deal with these hate crimes so that each state isn't passing its own statute that is inconsistent with other states.
同时李鹏谦也表示只有立法是不够的。他观察到在亚裔社区中存在着对攻击事件的漏报现象，这个政府保护亚裔民众带来了挑战。他希望通过政府各部门的合作为民众提供更多信息，让受害者更积极地举报犯罪，以确保案件得到妥善处理。
But you know, it's not just passing laws. It's also having policies too at the very highest levels of government.And already, I have been working with my community leaders in Maryland to work with our local county executives, our other state officials, with our prosecutors and our law enforcement, because a lot of times I think that we have a lot of underreporting of these attacks in our community because they may be afraid to come forth because they may think that they're not going to be addressed and then there might be possible retaliation.And particularly the attacks have been against our seniors and women. And you know why? Because I think the perpetrators think they can get away with it. They perceive women and seniors as being very helpless and voiceless. But no, we can't have that. We're going to fight back. We're going to protect our seniors. We're going to protect our women of Asian descent. We're going to protect them.
李凤谦也提到，亚裔群体为美国做出了巨大贡献，但并不完全为人所知。他希望从更广泛的社会层面，让更多人了解亚裔美国人的历史。
The problem is, the history of America is not told, is not correct, unless the history of all its people are recorded, are told. And a lot of times, persons from communities of color, like Black, Asian, Latino,Our contributions have been marginalized or not even recognized at all. But we've got to change that because we are part of America's history. We laid the foundation for what the country is now, and we need to be included in history books too. And we also need to be included in education curriculum. And I think that's already starting to happen.
美国观察每天美东时间下午北京时间早上六点到六点半在 YouTube 推特脸书平台同步直播。美国新冠疫苗对所有16岁以上的民众开放，至少半数的美国成年人接受了至少一剂疫苗。拜登政府也已经表示不会参与全国的疫苗护照系统。您对疫情之后的旅行和经济重启有什么预期？欢迎您在直播间给我们留言，期待在节目中分享您的意见。 在昨天的节目中，我们报道了美国气候特使克里结束访华，并与中国发表处理气候危机联合声明。YouTube 网友 Solarman Ted 评论说，记得西方礼仪教育，交谈最安全的话题就是天气，自己体会也是如此，难道中美之间也是如此？另外 Facebook 网友写道，支持中国加入气候保护，淘汰高污染高消耗的血汗工厂，改善工人生活和工作环境，提高国民收入水平。感谢您的评论和反馈，期待在今后的节目中和大家进行更多的交流。今年二月 ,NASA 的毅力号火星车成功降落火星，与火星车一同抵达的还有一架无人直升机。这架机智号无人机在周一成功完成了首飞任务，成为了第一架在另一个星球飞行的动力飞机。来看详细报道。
Is less than 1.8 kilograms, right? 4 pounds. And in that 4 pounds, Ingenuity has to be able to fly in that very thin atmosphere and be able to survive and operate autonomously at Mars.
It also opens the doorway for human exploration, and the helicopter can go into areas where the rover can't. So there are a lot of caves, and the rover has to overcome a lot of obstacles on the ground that the helicopter can ideally move around. And that's why it's such a great option for putting an aerial vehicle on another planet.
Opposite indicator, choose deploy.
About 20 meters off the surface.
可穿戴保健设备的市场一直在增长，尤其是在美洲、欧洲和亚洲，而新冠病毒是对这些设备的需求增加的原因之一。美国之音记者李爱琳介绍了两种在大流行病中找到新用途的设备。
试想一种你可以穿在身上、没有电线或笨重的机器，却可以随时关照你的健康状态的设备。生物智能感知公司创造的生物钮和生物贴就是为了做到这一点。
Things like heart rate, respiratory rate, temperature, 12 different clinical parameters, even coughing frequency.
这种可重复使用的生物贴每分钟测量这些生命迹象，数据加密后每隔10分钟通过应用送到云端，然后病患会在应用上接到一份健康报告。生物钮和它类似，不过是一次性的，测量心率和呼吸频率的次数不那么频繁。感觉不出症状的乙感染者，他们的身体实际上可能有传感器侦测出来的变化。
And what we've seen in COVID patients is that there's this characteristic alteration or almost pattern in temperature differential, respiratory rate differential, pulse that precedes actual outward symptoms.
科罗拉多州的 UC 保健系统是生物智能感知公司的投资者，该系统使用这种设备，这种设备也让医生得以远程检测患者以及接种过新冠疫苗者的健康状况。
The device is not meant for COVID, it happens to be ideal for COVID.
另一个当初并不是专门为新冠打造的可穿戴设备，是这个附带 AirPod 的智能口罩。
Silicone seal that's welded in here.
这个智能口罩最初是用来过滤空气污染的，可移除的过滤片可防液体，可以和 N95 口罩竞争。
We block over 99% of particulate of the same size.
这个 Halo 传感器读取并分析用户的呼吸行为。
We understand your breathing and we understand your local air quality. We're able to tell you when to change that filter with a high degree of accuracy.
从你的口罩到你的生命迹象的数据，统统都可以轻松地通过一个应用取得。美国之音记者李爱玲发来的报道。
根据联合国粮食及农业组织的数据，全世界每年大约损失或浪费价值10000亿美元的粮食。美国之音记者巴尔德拉斯观察了新冠病毒如何激发美国在防止浪费粮食和饥饿方面的创新努力。
Okay, come on in.
With COVID-19, there has been a tremendous demand for fresh food.
在大流行病期间，非盈利的新鲜农场组织的一个有助于减少浪费粮食的方法是将美国小农和当地消费者直接联系起来。
And you're going to end up with a lot less food waste than you do with larger industrial systems because there's much fewer points along the distribution cycle where food can be wasted.
而且在较小的规模上，防止浪费的规划更容易一些。
We're very good at keeping balance on our numbers of birds and, you know, we don't really increase until we see a market demand of increasing.
农民市场的供应商受到鼓励，要他们把没有卖掉的蔬果捐给食品银行，然后再派发出去。由于新冠病毒，食品银行对食品的需求激增。
Whether we have extra or not, I always make sure to bring some boxes to give to those people.
在美国，浪费食物是一个巨大问题，每年浪费超过1亿吨。与此同时，慈善机构美国消灭饥饿组织表示，在2021年，有4200万人，也就是每8个人里就有一人，可能遭遇食物短缺的问题。受新冠病毒所限，食品救援计划已转向互联网，以安全的管理取货和共享操作。他们吸引了一大批志愿工作者，创新也蔚为潮流。一个例子是，不要把未使用的食物倒入垃圾填埋场，因为这样释放出来的甲烷会加剧气候变化。一家名为完整循环的初创公司正在将堆肥机放在产生食物垃圾的地方，比如餐馆。
If you stop hauling food waste and compost it on site, it provides a path to get us from the 6% of recycling of food waste to 100%. And that product of finished compost is put into our soils, which makes our soils more resilient to extreme weather.
美国环境保护署计划遵循联合国的建议，衡量并制定标准，在2030年前减少食品浪费50%。
The rest of the world certainly looks to the U.S. for leadership on climate change. The physical world has limits, and in many cases we're pushing up against them, you know, in terms of the pollution that we generate through our production and consumption choices.
但美国农业部表示，要大幅度减少食物浪费需要广泛合作。
We're doing a lot of consumer education outreach. We're working with private sector stakeholders. We're spreading the word about the liability protections for businesses who wish to donate food to food banks and pantries.
Hello. 在大流行期间，迈克尔·罗德更经常到农民市场购物，但谈到永久消除食物浪费的问题，他认为美国必须解决另外一个问题，那就是贫富收入差距日益扩大。
America, in spite of our homeless and hungry problems, is still a rich country. So someone like me, I can come here and essentially buy as much as I want. And that can lead to food waste. And it's hard to see how you could ever actually resolve that issue in a fair manner, an equitable manner.
美国之音记者巴尔德拉斯，华盛顿报道。
去年3月，美国因为大流行病而开始封锁以来，收养宠物的业务一直在蓬勃发展，而这其中受益的并不仅是宠物。来看美国之音记者巴卡雷茨的报道。
这只叫做奥利弗的拉布拉多犬不喜欢相机，它紧张的嚎叫，还紧盯着主人保护它。奥利弗是2个月前被收养的。
I had a lab puppy for about 14 years. Unfortunately, lost her to cancer at the beginning of the pandemic last year, so around end of January. But literally almost a year to this day is when I found Olive, or I should say Olive found me.
当地的一个志愿工作团体帮助沙伊拉·麦雅姆找到了奥利弗，他后来收养了这只母狗，整个过程花了6个多月的时间。但麦雅姆从一开始就知道自己想要收养奥利弗，并给他一个永远的家。
So I think I got the call on like a Thursday, and then I just, I think they agreed to sort of wait till Saturday when I could drive out to the shelter to see her. But yeah, if I hadn't, Biden taken her. I know there would have been another, you know, really wonderful family that would have loved to have had her too.
大流行病袭击美国后，从2020年3月开始的宠物收养热潮从来没有消退，隔离和封锁措施促成了收养宠物的好时机。
We have not seen any change. People are still really excited about adoption, really excited about fostering, especially, yeah, I mean, dogs and cats.
人道救援联盟是华盛顿特区最老的动物收容所之一。在2020年的早春，他们的收容所有30只狗，今年只有去年的一半。对许多人来说，家里养宠物对他们或他们的孩子来说都是宝贵的情感支持。
We have had several adoptions of like small dogs that were adopted to be emotional support animals for kids with autism or some other kind of PTSD or some other issue that they really needed help with. Yeah, certainly
getting to pet him. 有些人只是想要宠物作伴。以自我隔离几个月的朱莉·卢卡维纳说，要不是有她的吉娃娃犬，日子会难过得多。
I could always, you know, snuggle with it. He likes to snuggle. He's always kind of next to you or on top of you, so.
去年，卢卡维纳的几个朋友效仿他，从动物收容所收养了几只狗。志愿工作者很高兴地报告说，尽管担心在封锁措施放宽后，许多动物会被送回来，但这个情况并没有发生。美国之音记者巴卡雷茨，华盛顿报道。
研究海龟的科学家说，这些古老物种的数量正在下降，他们将其归咎于人类活动，但是他们也希望一个新的行动计划可以帮助这个物种绝处逢生。来看美国之音记者阿拉巴萨迪的报道。
国家海洋和大气管理局的研究员在加州海岸附近捕到了一只鳞皮海龟。生态学家斯科特·本森说，这种几千万年历史的物种正在严重减少。
Estimates are that the population now is about 1,400 adult females remaining. That's down from literally tens of thousands a few decades ago.
本森合著的一个新研究指出，鳞皮海龟在觅食区里的数量过去30年降低80%左右。他说，考虑到这个物种的适应力，这令人惊诧。
The leatherback turtle is an ancient mariner. They've been around for almost as long as 80 million years in their present form, date back to the time of the dinosaurs. It's not a poorly adapted species. They've been through all kinds of things, meteor strikes, climate changes, you name it.
他说，这种物种的数量越少，就越容易受到国际捕鱼和采集龟蛋等外在因素的影响。本森的团队在海龟身上装置发射器，这样他们的捕鱼渔船队就可以避开它们。他说，他的团队正在尽其所能地提高在迅速萎缩的海龟数目。
We're down to the remnants right now, so any little thing now could potentially disrupt it. So we have just a very little time to turn around.
鳞皮龟的所有七个物种都处于困境，但这项新研究聚焦在西太平洋的物种。它从印度尼西亚和所罗门群岛迁徙11,000多公里来美国西海岸设施海蜇。国家海洋和大气管理局最近发布了一个新的行动计划，呼吁加强国际合作。美国之音记者阿拉巴萨迪报道。
感谢您收看今天的美国观察，我们下次再见。